Sermon title today is A God of Miracles. Our God is a God of miracles, but we live in a day and age when the church is saying that miracles have stopped, that they are no longer taking place in the church and in our world today. Then why pray? Why waste our time praying if we do not believe in miracles? Well, let me tell you, I believe in miracles because our God is a God of miracles. I believe that every answered prayer is a miracle of God. And did you come here today to church to expect a miracle to take place in this building today? I did. I come here today expecting a miracle. If you pray expecting nothing, you're going to get just exactly what you're praying for. Nothing. Every time I pray, I have my expector on. I'm expecting a miracle, an answered prayer for God to move. Let's be a church that has got our expectors on when we pray. Amen. Why shouldn't we? We serve a God that can do all things, that nothing is impossible for Him to do. Why shouldn't you expect a miracle when I say that you are one? If you remember that last week, we may have heard about a miracle, we may have read about a miracle, but I never thought that I was a miracle. But you today that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a miracle of God. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We were there last week and we're going to go back there today. So 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. A verse that many of you are familiar with. But in verse 17 it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, verse 17 again, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new, or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new creation. You have been born again. The Spirit of God has been birthed in your heart and in your life. You have become a living temple of the Holy Spirit. That is a miracle. A new creation. A miracle of God. Now turn with me to John chapter 3, and we're going to look for a moment at Nicodemus, a religious leader, a Pharisee of the day during Jesus' time on earth. But in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, so that's John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Verse 5 again, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. As a born-again believer, you are reborn from above. You today are a walking and talking miracle of God. Because of that birth that took place in your heart the moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say these words with me today. My God is a God of miracles. I am a miracle of God. And when I pray, I expect a miracle. This should revolutionize your prayer life for those of you that struggle in your prayer life to pray with your expectors on, expecting God to move on the behalf of His children because of your relationship, not because of you, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done in your life. We're going to look at the scripture. It talks about that we have the Holy Spirit on this earth interceding through us when we have a prayer that we don't know for sure how to pray. And we also have the Lord Jesus Christ sitting where? At the right-hand side of the Father, and He's interceding for us as well. So we have prayer support on earth, and we have prayer support in the kingdom of heaven as well. We should expect our prayers to be answered. If we're praying in the will of God, we pray that God is going to move and change that situation in what we are facing or what we are going through at the time. So turn with me to Romans chapter 6, or Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at that. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, this is what it says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here on earth, we have the Holy Spirit that is interceding through us and for us. But it doesn't stop there. When you go to verse 34 and look at verse 34, the same chapter, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes what? Intercession for us. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I can expect a miracle not because of me, but because of Him. I not only have earthly support from the Holy Spirit, I also have heavenly support through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Colossians 1, verse 13, it says this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Lord Jesus is not only my Savior, the Lord Jesus is also my deliverer. He delivered me out of a world controlled and dominated by the God of this world into the kingdom of God. I'm no longer a part of this world. That's why we're sojourners. That's why we find the scripture says in Hebrews that there is no continuing city. We are just passing through. I belong to the kingdom of God. Your and my home is in heaven. It is not on this earth today. Satan, as the god of this world, has no hold on me. I don't belong to him no more. Unless I want to allow him to. Unless I want to allow him to. What area of your life are you allowing Satan to rule? You have been taught that you have authority over him, so why are you not taking it? Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Now we're all going to the same direction here, and we're going to end up somewhere, and I believe today we're going to end up somewhere special. But we're turning to Mark chapter 16 for now. It's the Great Commission. You're going to look at the Great Commission at the end of Mark chapter 16. And you look at verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach or proclaim the gospel, the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Isn't that interesting when you look at John chapter 3, verse 16, when it says Christ came into the world to save the world, not to condemn the world. But when you read a little bit further, just the next verse, it says, but they condemn themselves, right? So when you look at the scripture in verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Why? Because they condemn themselves. The Lord doesn't send anybody to hell. They send themselves there because they refuse to accept Jesus, that free gift of offering for us. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay on hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, when you look at verse 17, it says, what does it mean? Or I say, what does it mean? In my name they will cast out demons. You have the authority over the powers of darkness. That's what it means. You have the authority over the powers of darkness. So why don't we take it? Now listen to me. Many times, the footholds that become strongholds in our life that Satan has built in our life, and the reason that we allow that to take place because it appeals to the flesh. So we allow it to linger in our life simply because I don't want to get rid of it. Today is miracle day. I made up my mind before we ever got here. What is that thing in your life you need to be delivered from? You remember that we've talked about in the last few weeks that every problem in this world has a spiritual dynamic to it. Jesus came into the world, as he read in the book of Luke from Isaiah, that he came to deliver the captives, that he came to set us free. None of those things did he say were physical. He said they were all spiritual. So the dynamic of everything physically going on in this world that is wrong has a spiritual dynamic. In your life, if you have a stronghold that started out as a foothold, but it's become a stronghold in your life, I want you to recognize and know that even though it is a physical thing that you're doing, it has a spiritual dynamic. And to get something done in the physical, to get rid of that thing in the physical, you need to make sure that you're dealing with the spiritual. What is that thing in your life that you need to be delivered from today? So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're about ready to wrap this up. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. And you're going to go home and you're going to think about this for the next 2 weeks. What is Pastor Leo talking about? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What are our weapons as Christians? Our weapons are the Word of God and prayer. We today have applied the Word of God. Now we need to apply prayer. Something that God has been dealing with me over the last several weeks, and I have never said anything because I don't want to, I wouldn't ever hurt anybody's feelings for the world. But there's some people that struggle with smoking. And you are not proud of it. It's not something you want to do. It's not something you like. In fact, at this point in time, you hate it. But it's still been a struggle because sometimes it's a friend. And Satan likes you to make you think that it's a friend. And I would like to share with you that I have no feelings of ill will towards anybody that smokes. I don't see them as a lesser Christian. I don't see them as somebody that doesn't love Jesus or doesn't have faith. I've heard ministers talk about it before. There's worse things than smoking, brother and sister. It's called gossip. It's called being walking in judgment, having a critical spirit. One thing with smoking, you only hurt yourself. With gossip and critical spirit and those other things, you hurt those around you. It's more than just one person. But with smoking, you just hurt yourself. So I would never in my heart ever want anybody to feel like I am picking on them, because I'm not. I don't look at you as being a lesser Christian than Pastor Leo. The reason I am talking about this is because the Spirit has talked to me about it for the last few weeks, that there's people that are struggling with it and they want to be delivered from that. And I want to tell you today that I believe with all of my heart that you can be delivered from that by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that you could walk in here today and be a smoker and walk out today and not be a smoker. I believe that you could walk in here today and have an alcohol addiction and walk out today and be alcohol free. I believe today that you can walk in here with a drug addiction and you can walk out of this place and you can be drug addiction free because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's something that the adversary has built in your life that has become a stronghold, and we're going to come against that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are going to cast that out of your life forevermore. So let me ask you, is there anyone today that would like for Pastor Leo, before we close, to pray for them? Is there anyone here today that would like for me to pray for them? That there's something that you would like to be delivered from. Anybody else today? Everybody that comes up here today, why did you end up here? Why did you end up here at this time? Because the Holy Spirit wants you here. This service today has happened because of not only everybody else here, but it's happened for you. Why do you think that the Lord had been dealing with me with that for some time? Because He had you in His mind. He needed my voice to speak it to you. But the Holy Spirit is doing the work. So we said our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In Mark chapter 17, it talks about if you have the faith of the mustard seed, you can move this mountain. Whatever this mountain is in your life, God is going to move it today by your faith. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through and I'm going to anoint everybody. Praise God for your faithfulness and coming forward and stepping forward and your braveness and doing that, because you know that God wants to touch you, that God wants to heal you, that God wants to deliver you from that in the name of Jesus. And we receive it. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in their life right now. Right now. You started that before we ever got here. You started in my heart, life, that, Lord, that this would be a miracle service. We're going to walk out of here and we're going to see miracles that's going to take place before our very eyes. Not by the power of man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we bring each and every one of these people before you. And Father, there is something in their life that they desire to be delivered from, and I pray that in the mighty power of God that you would deliver them in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are bound forevermore, never to bother that with that again. It is gone from their life and is never going to bother them again. We're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in belief. We're going to move that mountain that is in our life in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Will you stand with me today? Father, we rejoice in this day that you have given us to come forward. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings of this service, the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. You are an amazing God. We are so amazed by your power, by your authority. I pray over every person here today that, Father, you would open the windows of heaven. You would pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them. And we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.